a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not a lot of time here, but we do want to bring you a Jazz Notes podcast here. It's a Tuesday evening for us, but we're going to preview the Utah Jazz and Golden State Warriors coming up in a few minutes. But first, we got to talk about the Utah Jazz's loss to the Houston Rockets. Can we call it just the double step or the triple step, the James Harden triple step?
Don't even remember what happened in that game other than whatever. Yeah, the Texas two-step that James Harden pulled off on Monday night.
I saw you tweeted out, you're like, how does he get away with this?
Well, I use stronger language than that. Cover up your ears. But how does he get away with this crap?
Yes.
It's just, but I feel like everybody in the league is frustrated by this. You know what the Lakers did last time they played the Rockets? They're defending James Harden with their hands behind their back.
Yeah.
To make it harder for them to make these calls. It's getting ridiculous. The NBA has to figure out how to deal with James Harden because he's so hard to officiate. I give James Harden credit, though, because he's a very intelligent guy. He's very savvy, and he's learned all these little tricks that he can use to take advantage of every situation he's in. And he gets to the line. He knows how to use these things to get what he needs and get what he wants. And that's what he's made him successful and made him one of the top players. It made him the MVP last year because he's able to score so many points because he takes advantage of all these opportunities, knows how to get to the line, knows how to get fouled, knows how to create space, even if it's illegal, by taking too many steps. It drives everyone nuts. But you know what? Credit to him. He's figured it out.
The over-the-basket angle of it, you can see the ref that is standing right there is not looking at his feet.
No.
They're looking up, and they're checking to see if Ricky Rubio is going to foul him on the shot. And Ricky Rubio did foul him on the shot, but it's too bad that you can't have an extra ref there or something can be looked at. You're like, no, did you see that? And I know the refs came back later and said, yeah, we made a mistake. But even with James Harden hitting a clutch shot after that, with the extra steps, he scored 47 points. But on the other hand, the Utah Jazz's defense has been playing a lot better of recent, and they actually played very good. They played very good in that game. In fact, if you take the last two games, you take that 41-point quarter away in the Orlando. I know it's the most important quarter. Yeah. It was the fourth quarter, and you take away, unfortunately, Harden hitting that game-winning shot. Really, their defense is playing a lot better. Their defensive rating is their best it's been so far this season. Right now, their defensive rating is at 101.1. That's the best so far this season. Their offensive rating so far in the month of December. I'm sorry, that's in the month of December. Mm-hmm. In the month of December, also, their offensive rating has ticked up from the month of November, which was horrid, where the Jazz had their offensive rating was below their defensive rating. And so, so they're playing better. It gives you a little bit of hope. I know they're still 14 and 17, but it gives you hope, especially when you see they play 20 games on the road and only 11 games at home. They're getting ready to play the Golden State Warriors coming up Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think you got to have some hope that they're going to figure these things out. And once the schedule evens out, they'll really start to take advantage of that. It does feel a little bit like deja vu with last year. Outside of Rudy being hurt last year and not being hurt this year, the schedule has been very similar, and the record is very similar. And you hope they don't dig a hole like a 19-28 hole like they did last year. Hopefully they figure it out before then, and hopefully the schedule, you know, eases up a little bit before then. But it feels like we've seen this before. Now the challenge will be, can they match what they did last year or close to it with that run they made in the second half of the season? And will it be too late? Because the Western Conference is so good, and it's going to be playing Sacramento this year is different than playing Sacramento last year. Playing Denver this year is different than playing Denver last year. Same with all the other teams in the league in the Western Conference. So Some of these games that were easy wins last year may not be the case this year. The Lakers is another example. They dominated the Lakers last year. You going to be able to dominate the Lakers this year? Probably not.
Memphis Grizzlies.
The Memphis Grizzlies, another one that was in the lottery last year. This year, those games against Memphis were hard. So the room for error, I think, is slimmer. So it's going to be tough for the Jazz to get in the playoffs at this current pace. We'll see how quickly they're able to turn the corner here with the schedule and how many wins they can get. Hopefully they're not 19-28 in the middle of January and it's closer to 500. If it is, I feel pretty good about their chances, but again, it's going to be difficult this year.
Good thing they haven't faced the Phoenix Suns yet. So they're going to face them multiple times.
Well, they've only played three games against teams with a losing record. I don't think they've played any games against teams currently with single-digit wins. That's insane. I think the Thunder played nine against teams with single-digit wins.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy how hard this schedule has been. But, of course, Jazz fans, and we here, you want to see this team play better, and I think they're starting to trend that way. But, of course, you see them trending that way with better defense, and then they're going to face the Golden State Warriors coming up on Wednesday night. And that one's a scary one, but if there's ever a game that you think maybe the Jazz, they can hang something on, everyone's gunning for the Warriors, so the Warriors are expecting it. And we know what they can do offensively against the Warriors because we saw it in the second game of the season. Now, they haven't played that well offensively all season long except for maybe a couple of different times. But if there's ever a time that you think maybe this is the game where you turn their season around, it's this game at home because it's not easy after this. They play Portland on Saturday night. Or is it Friday night? I'm sorry, excuse me. They play Portland and Oklahoma City. I'm just screwing up the nights. And then it's Christmas next week.
It's
you get Portland
blur.
Again. And then you get, right after that, you get the 76ers here at home. So it's not an easy one. But you think that maybe if this one game can kind of fuel that fire to start turning these things around, this would be the time. This would be the game that they should do it. And it's going to be a tough one because Steph Curry's back. All those guys are up and ready to go, and they know that they're going to expect the best from the Jazz.
If you're looking for something positive, Jazz fans, here's the positive thing. They've played the Golden State Warriors very tough since that playoff series 2 years ago when they got swept. So last year they won this season series. In fact, I don't think they lost the Warriors last season, if I remember correctly. I think they went 3-0. And then this year, that second game of the season at home, they were up, 15 on the Warriors at home? And then the Warriors came back and won at the end. I still can't believe they lost that game at the end. Oh, man, that tip in at the buzzer. But I think they're going to play the Warriors tough on Wednesday night. I think they're going to give them a tough game. And that's one of those games you want to that you're right. That could really change things around. Of course, it's a win against a contender. You'll always take that. But they need some kind of springboard. They need something to get them going. There's been so much inconsistency. So they just need a little bit of something to get them going, I think, get on a roll here. Even though the schedule's still challenging, these are games that they can win. The games you mentioned are games that they can win. So what better time to start rolling than right now? But, I don't know how worn out this team may be. Maybe the effects of the schedule have built up, and it's going to be hard for them to catch their breath at some point.
The interesting part is that the Jazz offensive and defensive ratings right now are better on the road than they are at home. Now,
that's shocking.
It's amazing, and you think maybe they're not going to have enough when they play the Warriors, but I will also say this. Since they have such a disparity in home and road records in how many games have been played, 20 played on the road and only 11 played at home, you could understand maybe why it is that way. So I'm not going to totally put my marbles into one, whatever you want to say, eggs into one basket, all that other stuff, you know, the stuff you hear all the time. I'm not gonna put it all in there just because of 11 games. They've only played 11 games at home. I think they're going to play a lot better at home. I don't know if it's going to be this Wednesday, but I think as time goes along and they are going to play more games at home, I think they will play better. Okay, a couple of quick things we want to get to before we get out of here from the Jazz Notes podcast. Jeremiah's
got
to go do some newscast
or something
like
that.
I know, he's got work. Real quickly, we heard about this yesterday. Kevin O'Connor from the Ringer came out and talked about Jabari Parker to the Jazz in a trade because the Jazz are so desperate for offense. We've had a couple of local writers basically come out and say, that's not what we're hearing. We even had something on KSL.com that said, should they do this? And I think I know how you feel because we talked about this in a previous podcast, but I'm just curious, has that changed at all? Because you thought before, Jazz don't need Jabari Parker. I'm just curious if anything has changed, especially since the Jazz have struggled on offense this season.
I don't want to question this reporter's source. I'm sure they're well tapped in. I just don't know if it's coming from the Jazz end because I talked to people in the organization last summer and even recently, and Jabari Parker is not somebody that they're looking to acquire. if they wanted Jabari Parker, they could have had him this summer. They could have came in early, been on top of it from the get-go, and offered him something that was competitive. It took him a month to just get one offer, and it was from the Bulls, and the Bulls basically outbid themselves by paying him $20 million. I don't think the Jazz are interested in Jabari Parker at any price, honestly, because I don't think he fits what they're looking for. They need somebody who's going to be committed to play basketball on the defensive end, and he's been very vocal about his lack of commitment on the defensive end, and that he's an offensive player, and he's focused on that. That's great, but that's not going to fit in the building over at Zions Bank Basketball Campus. So this idea that they would be desperate enough for offense that they'd go chasing Jabari Parker, I don't see it. And obviously it would make sense that if they're going to go chase Jabari Parker, who's essentially a stretch four, that they would be trading Derek Favors in the process. I think you would be giving up too much in that trade, honestly, which is crazy to think. So 3 years ago or 4 years ago when he was drafted, 4 years ago, he was in the Dante Exum class, 4 years ago, would you have made that trade straight up Derek Favors for Jabari Parker? Of course.
Yeah.
You're going to take
Parker,
right?
Yeah.
I'm saying right now I would not take that trade.
No, I understand. I understand. And I would add on top of that, let's say the trade happened, or let's just say magically Jabari Parker's on the Jazz and he's a starting forward for the Jazz right now. The problem is that then you've got to find someone else who's going to be more of a shooter. So then you have to almost take Ricky Rubio off the floor more, because Parker's not going to be able to shoot from the outside that well. So now you've got to find another shooter on the floor. And I'm not sitting here saying Derek Favors is the answer, you know, when I'm coming to that, but I'm just saying they need to find someone else who can shoot on this team. Donovan Mitchell's not shooting that well. And we already know Ricky Rubio's not that great of a shooter either. So you'd almost have to remove someone else going forward and say, okay, this is the guy that we need to go forward. So here's you're ready for my wacky trade of the week.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, so let's say that the Lakers want more shooting, and they do. What would you think? And by the way, this is not going to happen, but what would you think about the Jazz trading Joe Ingles? I know, blasphemy.
What?
Joe Ingles.
What?
Maybe someone else for Brandon Ingram, just because Brandon Ingram hasn't been the same since LeBron James has joined the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, this is not going to happen. This is my fun hypothetical right now. Would you do this trade, Jeremiah?
Oh, geez. I love Joe.
I do too.
But you're talking about a player with a higher ceiling there. I don't know if Brandon's a good fit, though, either. I mean, it's kind of a Jabari-esque situation, too. I'm not going to do it, but I have to think about it.
Okay.
I have to think about it.
Maybe I'll give you a week, and I'll ask you on the next Jazz Notes podcast. By the way,
I can't give up Joe. Joe's my guy.
No, Joe is one of our favorites, but possible transformational player. Again, silly trade rumor. It's not a silly trade rumor.
But when is he going to transform? I'm still waiting.
Yeah. Maybe once he cuts his hair. I don't know. Anyway, this has been the Jazz Notes podcast. Jeremiah's got to go to work. I got to go to work, too. Thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing, all that other stuff. Let us know what you think of the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll talk to you soon, especially after the Warriors game. We'll talk to you after that one coming up soon.